bless you for the opportunity of being in your presence. Lord, we come to ask, Lord, that you will open the eyes of our understanding once again, and that you teach us out of your law. And that, Lord, that this new day that we are talking about, we are singing about, O Lord, that will be a partaker of that new day, that will be counted worthy to apprehend that day. This is our heart desire, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you will bless our hearts this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. The word that God is laying my hand is about this song we just sang, A New Day. A New Day. A New Day. Now, let's go to the beginning. Let's look at the book of Genesis, chapter 2. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, can see that from verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. That was the creation of that old day which God created. When By the time God created the heavens and the earth, so he put Adam in it. And God said something. And that's where this song is important. And God, let's look, just move down a little from verse 5. And every plant of the field, because it was in the earth, every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God has not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. So God created everything, and God didn't allow it to rain because there was not a man to till the ground. So God gives rain when God knows that he will have a man to till the ground. Because the rain will not fall for nothing. Now, let's move on a bit. 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So God was gradually bringing forth, investing in man that will till the ground. Now, as we move to verse 21, God brought forth
Please, we want parents to take hold of their children. There's so much noise in this hall. Let's reduce the noise. Thank you.
Thank you for doing what the Spirit of God is asking us to do. Amen. So we are talking about a new day. And God form man out of the ground and instructed man what he should do. Now let's look at verse 8 of Genesis chapter 2. We're just trying to look at the beginning. And the Lord God planted the garden. It was in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the river went wild and all that. So, now, God formed man and he gave instruction. Look at that instruction. Because he said, every tree that is pleasant to the sight, God asked man to eat it. And good for food. Now, all these were there in the garden. But we're going to see, but there was one that God says, eat, and the one don't eat. And when you move down, he said, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. That was the tree of life in the midst of the garden. And there's another opposite tree. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the river went out and all that. But when we'll see, what God is showing that there were two ways which sort of where this tree, there was the tree of the knowledge of the good and the evil, and there was the tree of life. Now, in the midst of the garden. But God specifically gave instruction, you know, concerning what to do and what not to do. But Satan came and was saying a different thing. Because he told man, as God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden. But he knew what he was interested in. But let's look at verse 17, the instruction of God, because that's where we... let's start from 16. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, including the tree of life. Because every tree you might freely eat. But God went on to say something. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Clear instruction. You can eat of every tree. And the trees have been classified. Tree that is good to the eye, you know, pleasant. God gave it. Then in the midst of the garden, he put the tree of life. And God said, eat. God didn't restrain man from eating the tree of life. But what he restrained man from eating is the tree of the knowledge of the good and the evil. He said, thou shalt not eat that. That in the day that thou eatest it, so what will happen? In that day thou shalt die. Now, let's go to chapter 3. Now, Satan came as a serpent. Then now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, and God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, look at him. As God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So, what was he telling man? He was telling that God created you so that you will starve in the garden. Is that known? Because everything he has created, all the trees said, as God said, you should not eat anyone. And this subtle way is what the devil is still using to show to us that God is not good. That's all what the devil is all about. But God created the garden and put man there. After all the beautiful things, he said, you just dress it, freely eat, do, enjoy yourself. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. So, brethren, God is good. Because he knew that, well, those of us who are parents, when your child wants to go to near danger, what are you going to say? You restrain the child. If there is poison, of course, you are not going to allow your child to go near poison. And so you keep instructing the child. And child, learn, no, this is poisonous. You shall not touch it. You shall not taste it. And God gave this instruction. And the devil came and countered the instruction that God gave. Now, so, brethren, from the beginning of this message, what we'll see is that there was the word obedience, which is at stake. Who do you obey? And the Bible says, whom you obey, the servant of that person you become. So, now, there were two masters. The devil that came as a serpent and God. And so, devil came and gave a counter instruction. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the tree, and of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, this was where the woman had a problem, made a mistake, one dialoguing with Satan, and gave, there were two trees in the midst of the garden. God says, don't eat only one. But even she said, he said, of the tree in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat it or touch it. In the day that you touch and eat, he said, that day you will die. And look at what the serpent said. Ye shall not surely die. Verse 5, for God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, in the day that you eat it, you will die. That is in the instruction. But Satan came and said, in the day that you eat it, in fact, you shall not surely die. Because God knows that when you eat it, then you will know, you'll be like God. And today, there are many Christians that want to be gods. And that is a message from hell. It's a message from Satan. Serpent came and beguiled Eve with it. And he has come today, beguiling even end-time message people, that you are going to become gods. God will have mercy on his people. So, we are talking that he said, you shall not surely die. You shall not surely die. Now, let's see what followed in verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, Now, that's number one. Two, pleasant to the eyes. Three, a tree to be desired to make one wise. Now, God, when he was giving, he said, pleasant and good. That was the tree that God gave it. But Satan added a third type of tree you must eat. Tree that will make you wise. And that is the tree that the enemy is selling today. That is the tree that is bringing all manner of religion. They were all religion, messages, everything to take away the heart and the soul of men from God. The message that will make you wise. That's the one Satan is giving. So today man is looking for wisdom. You want to be wise. The wisdom of Satan is no wisdom, brethren. And so he went ahead and ate the food and she gave to her husband. And what was Satan looking for? Satan was looking for strength and energy. Because when he was caught, he was sent out as a fugitive. A man that is supposed to just roam, you know, with no relation. Nobody should relate with him. Satan was supposed to be an orphan. But he came and started romancing with the creation of God. And that was how man missed it. And when you go to verse 19 of chapter 3, it said, in the sweat, as God was speaking to man, he said, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. Now, look at it. It said, for dust thou hast, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now, man is a dust and will return into dust. Now, let's look at verse 14 before that. Verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou hast caused above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. So, the serpent will eat dust all the days of his life. And God said to man, dust thou hast, and dust shall thou return. So, the dust has become a food for serpent. And what we say, man has become food for serpent. And that is the problem of man. Because you obeyed Satan. And God is clear. The man whom you obey, the servant you become. And that was how man fell from God's grace. And from that point on, trouble, trouble, trouble. But there is a statement which is important, and a statement, and that is in that verse 14. Because thou hast done this. Brethren, God doesn't utter that statement anyhow. Satan deceived. And he went on and he said this, and he spoke the same thing to Adam. He said, because thou hast listened to the voice of your wife. Now, so, because. Brethren, what God is doing is based on this because. Because you please God, or because you disobeyed God. Now, so this man disobeyed God. Serpent also did something. It says, and God caused serpent. It says, caused art thou. among all beasts, in thy belly thou shalt go. And to the man, because you listen to the voice of your wife. And that was it. So that man was thrust, cast out of the garden of Eden. And God kept the cherubims with two-edged sword that will protect that garden. So that, because God said, man has become one of us, because man has become God. He wanted to be God, now he has become God. With letter G. Knowing good and evil. And so, the implication of that is that man said, I can take care of my affairs. You become God when you say you are in charge. No one can tell you what to do. And that was what man told God. So he said, well, since you have come to this point, there is a tree of life in the midst, which man did not eat. So God says, in the day that you eat of this other tree, you die. So the implication is that in the day that man eats the tree of life, what happened? He lives. So that tree that man did not eat that day, he died on that day because he ate the other one. But this tree that is in the midst of the garden of God is still available. But man that has fallen, man that has become a god, cannot go and eat it. Because if he eats that tree, then he lives forever. Which is what God wanted. God was looking for man that would serve him. He said, dress this, keep it, eat of this tree of life and live forever. But man did not understand. He listened to another master. And that is how we have been serving Satan ever since. But God sat and saw that from that point on, every imagination of man is what? Evil. Evil continuously. Then God destroyed the earth. Now, when you begin to count, in the book of Psalm 90 verse 4, and also 2 Peter 3:8. God started talking about day. Because when we are talking of day, the day that you die, you eat of the tree, you die. And God is making it clear. He said, with 1,000 years is as one day. And a day with God is like 1,000 years. So, why man is counting 1,000 years. God is counting what? One day. And so from that point on, Adam lived for 930 something years, he died. And go and see it. Men at that time were living 900 years until the time of Noah. Noah lived 930 something years too. He died. But the man that lived the highest was a man, you know, that prophesied concerning that, you know, Enoch, you know, and about Methuselah. You know, Enoch was the father of Methuselah. And when he gave birth to his son, God gave him a word. That's why Methuselah means when he is gone, it shall come. Judgment shall come. So Methuselah became a living, you know, prophetic word of God. So Enoch so walked with God that He was tired of the whole thing that was happening, the evil and that, that God took him away. And before he died, he gave back to his son and said, look, before, you know, the evil that men are doing, he said, that year that when this, my son, will die, then judgment will come. And from the that day to the flood, it had been computed. It was exactly the year of Methuselah. So that's why for 120 years, Noah, the grand great grand son of Methuselah, was there, seeing his great grandfather. But the year that Methuselah died, because you can see that nobody talked about Methuselah when the flood came. So judgment came as God brought it forth. Now, but Noah, immediately Noah died. And Shem, that we're talking, Shem lived for 300 and something years. Can see, the whole thing just Noah died. Bam! After the judgment. And kept on, by the time he got to Nahor, the father of Abraham, the whole thing was already becoming 100+. And God now saw that he would need to get another man like Adam that would be in control. And God therefore called Abraham. It was Abraham. And when God called him, and God gave him instruction, so you will leave your country, you will leave your kindred, and then you leave your father's house. And I will show you another land, which you don't know. And that land I will give to you. And the whole thing boiled down to one thing, obedience. He wanted to know whether this new man will obey my words. And the life of Abraham was a life of challenge. All what God wanted to know, if this man Abraham will obey me. And that was why this man obeyed God all through. So it became a living example of them that will obey the word of God. And that's why today, the Bible, you know, in Hebrews, was talking about this man, Abraham, as the father of faith. So he was a man that lived his life in hope of this new land, of this new place. And that's why when you read the whole of Hebrews 11, what are you seeing? You are seeing a people that are hopeful. Men of faith, men of hope. The two cannot be separated. If you are not living in faith, you cannot live in hope. And this man lived in hope. That's why God called him, said, walk before me and be perfect. He walked and walked. It was almost 100 years, no child. And one day, he was telling God, you can see, is this man in my house a servant who inherit everything you have given me? And that was the day God brought him out. He said, count the stars. Count the stars. He said, can you number? He said, so shall thy seed be. And what did the Bible say? I said, this man did what? He said, he believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. And Abraham Paul, he said, so is any man who will believe God, who will have faith in God, that this same righteousness of the world shall be imputed unto him. That is the righteousness of Jesus. It's the same righteousness of Abraham. And you begin to see, that's why when God speaks,
He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God was not talking about the dead. These men in God, they live. And God is talking about men that are alive and living. And telling us to pattern our lives according to the living, not according to the dead. So the dead are men that are obeying Satan. And that's why God is calling the people who will obey him. And anything that Satan stood for, this one will oppose it. And that was what Abraham did. When men believe, in Nigeria, we believe that sin is believing. That's our belief. That is opposed to God. God is saying, believing is sin. So, who are we supposed to believe? We must believe God. When you believe God, you see God. You see. That's why he has given us, teaching us this issue of faith. The evidence of things that we are open for, things that are not existing. And that's why the God we are serving, is the God that called those things that be not as though they were. This is the God we are serving, brethren. So it's not God that is what he has seen that is calling it to be. If what we see, that is what we are calling to be. We have not done anything. And that is the pattern God is giving to his people. That what you are yet to see, but you see with the eye of faith, that's what you become. The eye of faith. That was what Abraham did. He believed God, trusted God. And so God now swore unto him that day, gave him a word of promise. But this, because we are talking about, that is what I'm trying to bring out there. Then one day, God says, your children will be like the stars, uncountable. And of course, he made his own personal arrangement and had Ishmael. And God, because God has not changed, God called him when, of course, Ishmael and they misbehaved. So, Sarah said, they must go. And the thing pained Abraham. But God told him, you must obey. This thing, if this woman and the child must go. And then they left. Then one day, God called Abraham after his first, in quotes, son was no more. Because there's no trace of the child and the mother. He said, what happened? He said, God called Abraham. He said, now, this only child that is left, that is supposed to become the star, will become what? Go and sacrifice him unto me in the mount. Now, if men like us, because the emphasis, will you obey God? Will Abraham obey God? You see, God must prove us to the point where he can say, because you have obeyed my voice, or because you have obeyed not my voice. Because those are the two issues. We can do something that is very critical, important in the heart of God. But you can also do something that hurts God. So that, and when you do something that hurts God, he said, because thou hast done this. So what happened? He cast us away from his presence. And so that day, this man went. He didn't even tell his wife that he was going to sacrifice, because if he did that, there would have been trouble. So he just carried him. He said, we are going to sacrifice unto God. And he went there and did all that happened.
and God appeared unto him. And that day, God said something. He said, because you have done this, trying to offer your only child, he said, in blessing, I will bless you. And from that point, God started pouring out his blessings. Look at the scripture. Each time we please God, God blesses. That was what happened to Solomon, even though he misused the opportunity later on. He said, ask of me anything. And he asked. He said, I see. All what you are asking is wisdom to rule the people of God. He said, yes. Because you have done all those things you have not asked, what happened? I will give you. That is God. So we have to come to the place, where can we come to please God? How far can we go to please God? God said the same thing concerning Job. Have you seen my son Job? Have you seen my son Job? And Job, all that he passed through, the Bible says, Job refused to curse God. And what was this? What Satan saying? All this, everybody said, curse God and die. So the man says, I will not curse God, I will live. And this man was blessing God and blessing God. And at the end, we all saw the end of Job. That everything he had was multiplied by two. He got a double of everything that he had initially because he pleased God. So there is a pleasing of God that brings blessings where God can say, because thou hast done this. Yeah, that thing that is pleasing to my heart, you have fulfilled the will of your Father. The same thing, that was the example the Lord Jesus came and gave us. And the Bible says, because he suffered and died. So what happened? Said, God has highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue must confess. And the psalmist, I think that was Psalm 44 or so, you know, spoke concerning this. He said, thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. So what happened? Therefore. That's what we're saying. Therefore. So what did God do? Assaulted. Maybe let's look at it. I think that's a 44. So let me tell you. We sing it, therefore, Lord thy God has anointed thee above thy fellows. So, but we are talking about pleasing God, brethren. And what God has said is that day when man will please God and live for 1,000 years must come. And the Bible says the promise is still standing that a people must do what? Enter into this promise, into this 1,000 years. So, brethren, we are talking about the millennium and we are talking about resurrection. Resurrection and the millennium, they are the same. The devil has been talking about 3.5 years, you'll be in the sky. All those ones are rubbish. It was not 3.5 years that man lost. It was the ability to live for 1,000 years. And what God is going to give is the ability to live for 1,000 years. And man is being deceived. The rapture will come and will fly, and so shall we be in the car with the Lord for 3.5 years. I don't know where that is written.
But brethren, we must understand. See, we have lost something, and we must press on to that thing that we lost. And what we have not lost is what the devil is offering again. That what you need is 3.5 years of being in the skies. What man lost was 1,000 ability to live for 1,000 years in the garden. And this is where God has brought us today. That a people must live for 1,000 years. He said, in the day you sin, in that day you die. But brethren, I also believe that in the day you obey God, what happened? You live. So, it's clear. What God is calling his people to is how to obey God and live. Not how to disobey God and die. That is very clear. And the devil is daily offering men how to disobey God and live. Are you getting me? The devil teaching everything is disobey God and live and be a God. And God is saying, you disobey me, you die. And men are dying every day. Men are being deceived. So, brethren, we have to live for these 1,000 years. And God has been gradually, building up men that have obeyed God. Men that live in hope. And that's why, if we look at the book of Hebrews 11, toward the end of it, the Bible talks of these men that were looking for a city that has foundation, whose maker is God. So, there are so many cities whose makers is not God. But there is one which we must look for. Hebrews 11. Now, talked about, say, all these men through faith, subdue kingdom, trusted God, obey God, and all that. And because of them, God will say, because you have done this. And these men, their names were written, in the book of the Lamb. And that's why Satan recognized them. The seven sons of Sceva that tried to mimic Christians. You don't know God. He said, in the name of Jesus, whom Peter and Paul in the name said, come out. I see. Told him, in the book of life, your name is not there. He started pointing at the seven of them. He said, you, your name, you know there. By the time he finished with them, he said, so, you now say, now tell me, who are you? By what authority are you using? Because this authority is given to them that believe. That's why I said, in my name, we must believe. And that is the authority in the name of Jesus. Because he trusted God. Because he obeyed God. God gave him a name. God blessed Abraham. And that's why today, we can say, by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. He gave hope to a people. And that hope, the Bible says, is beyond the veil. That hope is still standing.
This immutable thing, God gave a word. He said, I will bless you. He said, look, to Abraham, your children will be as the stars of the sun. And then, he said, he had only one. He said, go and sacrifice. And he agreed to do that. And God says, yes, now, I know. If you can kill yourself, so there is nothing you cannot do for me. That's what God was saying. He said, because you have done this, then you are blessed. And that was the day God saw unto man. He said, God saw and confirmed it with an oath. And that oath is still standing, brethren. But it's for men and women who will dare obey God. You must obey God. You must trust God. Now, we are trying to from verse 35, it says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, that they might obtain a millennium. We'll come into that. Now, it said, they were stoned. Verse 36. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. And God will recall, said, because you have done this, you died for my sake, because you suffered for my sake, because. And their names were written in the book of life. 37, I said, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So we are talking about these men, and the Bible says that they were examples unto us, so that we can learn how to walk, we can learn how to obey God. And so, brethren, God's promises is that man dies, and God is promising that man must live. And that's why God is giving us resurrection. And so, his son Jesus came and died and was buried. And so, he showed to us the example, you know, of how to die and resurrect. And Jesus resurrected, being the first fruit of them that die. And because he resurrected, and God is now saying, you know, that this God that raised up Jesus from the grave, he said, we raise us by Jesus unto a new life. He has become that first fruit of them that died. And Jesus is also making a first fruit of men and women that will obey him and that he will raise with him. So, the issue is simple. While we are talking about first fruit, Jesus was a first fruit unto God. But today, Jesus is also looking for his own first fruit. Because he was the one that obeyed God. He was the one that pleased God. And lived a life in this world. So he's looking also for his own first fruit. And that first fruit is where he's calling us into. And so when we are talking about resurrection,
and first resurrection. Brethren, there is no second resurrection. But in a sense, but in another sense, there is second resurrection. Because second resurrection is second death. Go and check the scripture. Second resurrection is the same thing as second death. Because the Bible says, anyone who failed to take part in the first resurrection. So what happened to the person? He said, the dead. For them, they rest not. Until after the 1,000 years. And after the 1,000 years, what happened? Judgment. So their resurrection, is it resurrection? It's resurrection into judgment. But we are talking about a people that will reign and rule with Christ. That is resurrection, brethren. Because God is beginning to show that all the fairy tales which have been brought into Christianity must give way. And it's only the truth that sets free. And that's why God is saying that you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. We're talking about resurrection. And resurrection is a rising, you know, from the dead. And God gave conditions today of men and women that will resurrect with Christ. So, God is talking about us resurrecting by Christ so that we become his first fruit. So, what God is saying is that everything that his son passed through, because God gave his son to be what? We sing it. A testimony to the world. So that we can follow in his footsteps. In his steps. And this we must do, brethren. Because there is a call to life. There is a call to hope. So Jesus obeyed. And what did God say? He said, as by man came death, so also by man is the resurrection. And that is what we are talking, brethren. Adam brought death. Today, my problem is no longer Adam. God is calling me to a hope. To get hope of eternal life. And what is this hope of eternal life? Please, can we look at the book of John, chapter 1? You know, because it's important. But God talking about Jesus. He said, now, move forward. Go. Yeah. Now, look at this. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. In Jesus, are you looking for life? Hold on to Jesus. Hold him. Because he has already gone beyond the veil. He knows the way. All I have to do is to do what? Hold on unto him. You want to be blessed. You are not looking at Jesus. And Jesus is, God is saying, said, look unto him. Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. So we cannot look elsewhere. You can remember the case of Elisha and Elijah. You want double portion. Then what are you supposed to do? If you see me, when I'm taking, then you get it. And from that point on, men were saying, oh, do this. He had no time on. Because he had no time to meddle. He saw himself as a soldier. He cannot meddle with civilian affairs. Oh, come. Hold your peace. What I know, you don't need to tell me what I know. Because they wanted him to be pitiful and see his life as hopeless without his master. But the man knew what he wanted. A double portion of my august anointing. That's all. I got it. He said, as he came, you know, the master used his mantle when they crossed River Jordan. And now he was coming back. He just got there and he said, why now is the Lord God of Elijah? And what happened? River Jordan parted and he passed there. And from that point on, he started seeing that, he said, the anointing of Elijah, he said, they knew that it was upon him. And so, the people of Jericho ran to him. He said, please, our city is, can see, it's very big, with palm tree and all that, but there's a problem. There is death. Death. You bring life. We are talking about life. That a people will bring life into death situation. And my death situation must receive the life of Christ. So that I too can go on and bring life into every death situation that comes my way. Not that I should become one of those who will propagate death. So, brethren, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he brought life. The Bible went and said, Jesus brought life and immortality to life. And we're talking about how we can become immortal. And then that immortality is in Jesus. And so, do you want immortality? Which is resurrection. It's in Jesus. But we'll talk about what the devil is offering. And the Bible was clear. It said his soul was not left in hell. And why is the Bible talking about that? It's not really talking about Jesus. It's talking about me and you. If his soul was not left in hell because he pleased the Father, and if I please his Father too, what happened to me? My soul will not be left in hell. We're talking about resurrection. There are rules for resurrection, which is different from the rule of flying. So, because people are already thinking something that the wing will grow from, that's why God put gap there where the wind will shoot out from, with which they will fly. We didn't lose the opportunity to fly. We lost the opportunity to live for the millennium. And so it is what we lost in Adam that we must regain in Jesus Christ. And that thing is life. So resurrection is about life. Regaining life. Because what we lost was life. We got death because Adam obeyed Satan. And what God is saying is that we must come back and obey him so that we get life. And you see, who gets life? The life of Jesus that gets immortality. Because since he brought life and immortality to life, and the two go together. We lost life because death came. And when you receive that life, then, and you are living, and it has to eat, ability not to die again. That is immortality. So, Jesus brought life and immortality to life. And his soul was not left in hell. And the Bible is saying that he lives forevermore. And if he lives, what is the hope for me? The hope for me is that I will also live. And what am I supposed to do? That is the issue. But let's start from what I'm not supposed to do. Because that's where the problem is. Now,
let's look at the book of Revelation. Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, that sat upon those thrones, and judgment was given unto them. That judgment was given on in their favor. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast. That's worshipped the beast. Neither his image, neither has received his mark upon their foreheads, all in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, because Jesus brought life and immortality to light by the gospel, men can only live through him. And that's what the Bible is talking about here. This passage there, there are two ways we can look at it. Just, we can say, they were beheaded. Soul of them that were beheaded for the... Now, the implication of that is that I can cause my soul to be beheaded by this. That's, you refuse to receive the mark. What that means, brethren, is that, yeah, it could mean that you were physically killed or what. But what, that's not the one I'm looking at. That a man can become beheaded because he wants to please God. It means that the only way not to receive this mark is to be beheaded. So that you are headless and your head is Christ. And because he is Christ, he is the author. He is the life. He is the one that brought life and immortality to life. And he's the one that obeyed God. And he's the one that has entered through the veil into the holiest. And is calling me to come and follow him. So it means that we have to be beheaded. By what? For the witness of Jesus. I'm not talking about you were beheaded for preaching about Jesus. No. You have beheaded as a testimony that you please God. The problem we are having is the problem of wanting to please ourselves. The day, like Abraham, we said we want to please God, our head must go, and the head of Jesus must replace. And that day, what happened? You become a testimony. And those are the men that people will say, though dead, yet speaketh. One man was killed as a martyr for Christ. Stephen. And Paul was rejoicing. He didn't know that was the day. Everything about him was finished and concluded.
His power had been taken. I was carrying the clothes of men that killed Stephen, so that blood will not stain their dresses. And in Romans chapter 1, he said, men who do such things, you know, it's not, they will say that you love, because that's what happened. He loved the killing. And so he didn't cast any stone, but he carried the clothes of men that killed Stephen. How many times was he stoned too? One, they thought he was dead. God revived him. I think Stephen died and just slept. He even got up and said, God, all these men that are killing me, do not lay these sins. Don't record it against them. Why? He was beheaded for the testimony of Jesus. Maybe if it's me and you, I will pronounce curses. How the fire should come down and devour and all that. For the word of God. How important is the word of God to you? Is the word of God beheading you? When you hear the word of God, does it offend you? If it's offending you, it's not beheading you. You are alive, can't pay you day. You are on your own. But if you want to live for him, then the word of God, as it comes, must be chopping off your head and replacing it with Jesus. And we sing the song, more of Jesus will I know. You know, more. We must have more of him. So, the word of God must behead us. And not only that, we must not worship the beast. And not only that, neither his image, neither has received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. Now, let's take all these one by one. Which has not worshipped the beast? Who is the beast? Satan is the beast. He is looking for only one thing, worship. When he tested Adam, what was he looking for? Worship. And that day, you know why? You see, when God finished creating man, and the Bible says that man was created beautiful. He looked at the whole earth. What God created, he said, was beautiful. And so, Satan came and said, this beautiful creation of God, I want it. You see, the Bible says we were created for his pleasure. Not for my own pleasure. I was not created for my pleasure. We were created for his pleasure. And so, Satan wanted to take that position. And that's why the Bible says, whom you obey, that person becomes your master. That's the person you are worshipping. And so, brethren, worship is very important. When Jesus was tempted, the temptation was about worship. Satan has not changed. He's only looking for one thing, worship. Because he was denied worship when he was cast out of heaven. And so, he has made up his mind that he's going to get the whole world to worship him. And the whole world, indeed, they are worshipping. But there will be a people that will refuse to worship him. And those are the men that are beheaded by the beast. Now, so you are not receiving even his image. The image, what is created in the mind. Now, one thing God has taught me recently is that what you behold
is what you become. So what are you beholding? So the devil is given image. He's creating images everywhere. And men are looking at those images and they are turning to them. They are becoming them. Whether they are homosexual, whether they are... It started as images. Bestiality. Oh, devil will bring an image. You submit to that image, then you are becoming that image. And there is always a destination for all images you are submitting to. Are there images that are coming from God? If you are submitting to the images that are coming from God, then you have a destination. Resurrection. But if you are submitting to the images that is coming from the devil, where is the destination? Death. Because the Bible is clear. In the day that you do this, in that day you die. But we thank God. In the day that we obey the word of God, in that day we live. And we are talking about life. And the only way to live, brethren, is to receive the life of Christ. And receiving the life of Christ is resurrection. So, resurrection is a life. The life that we live. So that's why we see it. In their works, the works of their hands, they have not received the mark of the beast. That is, they are not worshipping the devil with the works of their hands. Neither do they receive the mark upon their foreheads. Their mind is the mind of Christ. And that's what the Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. If your destination is resurrection, then you must have the mind of Christ. Because it's only the mind of Christ that can lead you. And so when all these upper parts have been fulfilled in a people, what is the destination? And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Brethren, that is resurrection. Living and reigning with Christ 1,000 years. And this is important. Now, we are looking at Revelation 20. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, those who lived with Christ and reigned with Christ, resurrected. And the Bible called it first resurrection. But look at the Bible, there will be no second resurrection. So, because I've heard a message, that was based on Matthew 25, about the 10 virgins. Then the wise virgins went in with Christ. But at the foolish virgins, because they went out and got oil, so they also, after 3.5 years, they will have the opportunity of also going in. Brethren, Matthew 25 was clear. What did he say? Get out from me. I know you not. That's all. There is only one resurrection. And that resurrection is the resurrection for the wise. Wise virgins, not foolish virgins. And that's where we must be careful so that we are not going to become foolish virgins. Because foolish virgins and those who did not serve God, they have their own part in the lake of fire. And so, going out, when the door has been shut, it will not be opened again. There is no scriptural backing for that. We only know of the first resurrection. And that is where man will live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, if we let's look at verse 13. Where it says, and the sea gave up, that's the second resurrection now. No. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. That's second resurrection. And they were judged, every man according to their works. This resurrection is judgment. I will pray that I will not partake of this. So, this is when hell and death give up everything in them. Jesus, because he died in God, he said death could not hold him captive. The same thing awaits us. That as many as die in Christ, they cannot hold us captive. Because even in the grave, we sing it, Jesus is Lord. And says, the dead give up. And only the righteous ones rose up. So what happened to the wicked ones? They remain there. Because they have become the property of death and hell. And that is where the problem is. And so, look at that verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So, it means anyone that is held by death will be, when hell is judged, so what happened? Everything in it is cast into the lake of fire. And look at it. This is the second death. Let me ask you, which one is the first death? The first death was the day Adam sinned. That was the first death. And that death has reigned till now. But God is saying that a hand is coming to it. So, and the Lord Jesus is there to raise his people. And to give them life and immortality. And so as many have life and immortality, they are the ones that will live and reign with him. And the Bible is now saying, anyone who did not live to the millennium, because that was what we lost, ability to live for one day. And God is now saying, when he gives man that ability, let's read a few verses before chapter 20. From verse 1, start talking about this. I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent. Now, let me just say something. He said, here, the Bible is talking about the dragon. That old serpent. When God, is emphasizing something, there's something that is pointing out. The serpent that deceived Adam has now become dragon. Why? How did he become dragon? He had been feeding on man. Dust. He had been feeding on man. The day we all agree that this serpent must die, what do we do?
I will not be food for the serpent. You are starving the serpent. It will not become dragon. But as we are submitting and obeying him, we are energizing him. He's growing every day. And so that's why he said, that dragon, that old serpent. So what did God do? Which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, 1,000 years of binding, 1,000 years of reigning and living with Christ. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a zeal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So, this 1,000 years is important, brethren. And say, after the 1,000 years, then it will come again. But let's look at a blessing that God is pouring out. Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So, reigning with Christ 1,000 years. I say it's resurrection. But what God is saying is that man died without reigning. And so, the first thing that man needs is life. And that's what Christ